Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 through 31a. In his message titled, Bits and Pieces, Reverend David Williams tells us that we have a tendency to turn people off. It would be a better world if we knew everyone to include their joys and struggles. We need to have compassion for everyone. We also need to give God's grace. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. There's so much to all that God has made. There's so many pieces to the puzzle. It's so complicated. Every part of life, we look out at the world and we think we have a grasp on it. And yet, there is so much that is needed, that is necessary, and that is different, that it's hard for us to engage with it. So many different gifts, so many different people, so many different things make up God's intent for us. And it's easy for us to step away from that, to want instead stuff to be simple and comprehensible. Everything exactly like us. Everything neatly held. When we do that, though, we hold back God's grace. We limit God to our own understanding. And when we do that, we miss a lot. It becomes easier for us not to encounter God's grace in difference, not to encounter God's goodness in something we had not previously known. Right now, let's admit that sometimes we struggle to see the fullness of all that God is doing. Let's admit that through the prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious and almighty God, we sing to you, we pray to you, but for all of that, we freely admit we often have a whole bunch of trouble wrapping our heads around you. We look out into the vastness, out into the great deep of our time and space, and we feel lost. Where are you in all of this? Sometimes it feels like you're close, right there with us. But other times, the great yawning chasm between us can be terrifying. We struggle to find our feet and to find a place our souls can rest. Help us know our purpose in all of this, Lord. Help us find our way. In Christ's name, we ask this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who's in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31a. You can follow along on page 174 of your pew New Testament. Let us listen a third time for God's holy word. Paul writes, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sounds so familiar. His name was Jesse. And he was always there working for the church where I grew up. Jesse sat there at the front desk of the big urban church on New York Avenue where I was baptized and my parents were married, and where I came back to faith after adolescence. And he sat there for years, and he was just a fixture. He was the one who greeted and directed and welcomed everyone who entered the building. He was the front desk guy. You came through those large, heavy, dark wooden doors, and he would be sitting there. Where you need to go, what you need to do. And he knew most people's names. Jesse was a cheery and no-nonsense soul. He was an older gentleman, which means he's probably like 50. And he was always neatly dressed in a tie and a sweater vest with spackle of freckles across his mocha skin. He had this salt and pepper mustache under black rimmed glasses. And Jesse had just always been there, long as I could remember. When I got into doing a service ministry at my home church that ran late into the evening, I realized Jesse wasn't just there during the day, not just there during Sundays. He was there till the building closed down, which would be 10, 11 at night some nights. And when I'd be on the way out, I would sit and I would chat with Jesse. And he'd talk about this thing or that thing, usually some interesting exchange he'd had over the course of the day as he welcomed in the many souls who'd come through the doors, because the doors of the church were always open. People who just needed to come in and get warm, people who needed to use a bathroom, and, you know, DC's great with a public bathroom, so He was just there. And he was a vet, and he would talk about his stint in the Army. But outside of that stint, he'd lived most of his life in and around D.C. And so he'd share life and things that he had struggled with. And we had several conversations, as I remember, that were around Jesse's main struggle as he was aging. Jesse had what he called the sugar. Anyone know what the sugar is? What's the... Yeah, diabetes. Yeah, he had the sugar bad. And he was struggling with it. And particularly the main thing Jesse was wrestling with was his feet. He was struggling with his feet because, as he told me on a couple of occasions, he just couldn't feel them anymore at all. They were gone to him. They were numb. They were just, there was no sensation coming from them at all, like they weren't even a part of him. But there they were, attached to the bottom of his legs, which, you know, it's kind of important if you want to be walking around, which Jesse would as he moved from place to place in the church, checking in on this, checking in on that. And it sort of worked. But Jesse was always concerned about it because it was so easy. If you can't feel a part of your body, to hurt it and not know it. Every day he would say, I'm checking in on this. Oh, I got this cut. I don't know where it came from. He could sprain or break something and he wouldn't have noticed. Not at all. And coupled with swelling and poor circulation, his concern was, my doctor keeps saying I could get an infection, it could spread. And then he'd be in trouble. Because even though he could not feel his feet at all, there was just nothing. They were still part of him. If they were harmed, he was harmed. And so he would talk about it and, Jesse being a straight-up kind of person, he'd pop off his shoe and, point to things on his foot. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. He would check them throughout the day, check them in the morning, check them in the evening, and he was seeing a doctor regularly. But it was a constant struggle, one that Jesse was more than happy to talk to you about if you stopped for a couple minutes to chat with him. He just had to pay attention to it. And he was diligent, because he was a diligent guy, but that was a struggle as the years went by that Jesse didn't win. He just couldn't. It was just too much that went on there. And Jesse's battle with the sugar and its hold over his strangely distant feet were the thing that the Apostle Paul stirred in my memory this last week as I read through Paul's continuing struggle with a fractious, endlessly divisive church in Corinth. As we heard last week, and as we hear whenever I preach on Corinth, which I love to do because it has no resemblance at all to our culture at all, Corinth, more than any of the other communities of the New Testament, was a community where people didn't see other folks as connected to them at all. Didn't see other people as the Apostle Paul tried to get them to see one another. Corinth just couldn't do it. Every piece of Corinth was set against every other piece in Corinth, and it was fiercely competitive. And the members of the church in Corinth approached each other in the way that their culture taught them to, which is, your goal when it comes to a relationship is to win. There are winners and there are losers. There are those who are superior and those who are inferior. And you have to maintain the pecking order because this whole thing is a competition. The goal is to get to the top. And that's how the Corinthians spent their time. And that's how the Corinthian church spent their time, which is why Paul had to send so many letters to the Corinthian church. And Paul really tried. He saw their potential, and he poured his energy into trying to find ways to get them to see how that way of thinking just wasn't what Jesus wanted. That way of thinking was not good news. It was not at all the path of the gospel. And Paul poured himself into that. He used every gift he had as a writer, as a speaker. He would cajole. He would be like pleasant. He would pitch them songs and poems. Or he'd yell at them sometimes. We get more of that in 2 Corinthians. And so he would, bless you, use every single gift he had to try to persuade that. And here he gives them a metaphor that's relatively, it's not an attack. This is like, all right, let's take a step aside. Let's think about the body. Let's think about something that we all understand, that we all have in common. Let's think about how a body works, how each piece of a body, each with its own different gift, if each with its own different place, how each contributes to the well-being of the other, how every part adds, and how every part needs to be different. Straightforward imagery. You can't have the whole body be one large eye, because that would be gross and weird. You can't have it be a foot, because it's just going to sit there if it's not attached to a leg. You can't have it just be an ear, because that's also, I mean, it's all gross and weird. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. You can't have these bits and pieces torn from one another, because they lose their purpose. They lose their intent. They no longer work if they are separate to one another or numb to each other. They have to be part, or the whole thing isn't real. Every member, part of each other. Every member not trying to rule over each other, but looking to the other, and if they see that the other suffers, feeling it. That's how a body works. And that was a challenge that the Corinthians had. But I think it's a challenge that just as deeply we in our society have. There is this deepening tendency to want to not feel what others feel, particularly those who are different and distinct, particularly those we perceive as not us, not me. And that numbness, I don't know where it comes from. I think it's a human preference not to feel difference, not to try to find that place where you have something shared, but to instead focus on why an other is an other. That seems to turn more and more into this deadness, where we see others as objects, as dead things, as things that can be dead to us, that we don't have to hear or perceive at all, because we would rather not. We would rather mute them, or unfriend them, or unfollow them, and just not know that they exist at all. But that, just as it was a challenge in Corinth, is a challenge for our culture. Because we are in God's love and grace, and as part of God's created purpose, we are all interwoven, whether we want to perceive it or not. Our well-being is fundamentally interconnected with the well-being of others, whether we want to perceive it or not. And I am worried on occasion of the impact of that numbness on us, of how easy it becomes to do a harm that will ultimately be harm done to all of us. Because when you can't feel, when you don't want to feel, when you deny that you need to feel, any compassion, any sense of another's struggle or suffering, it's not good. That ultimately was what took Jesse. He lost first one foot, and then another, and then the infection spread, and he died too young. He's a good guy. And I was actually kind of, sad as that is, it was good to have a remembrance of him. Thanks for the metaphor, Jesse. I do appreciate it. Thanks for your story. Because it reminds me of how important Paul's teachings are, that the foundation of this Christian life is that we are, in God's love, connected to all. Even those people we'd rather not be connected to, we are. We want to deny it, but we are. In that, as we step out, as we live in the world, remembering how important that connection is, how important it is to feel the suffering and the struggles and the joys of others. In that lies both our rejoicing and the hope of the gospel that Jesus proclaimed. So whatever it is and whoever it is that you'd rather not feel for, you'd rather not have compassion for, you'd rather take the spiritual equivalent of a very large syringe of Novocaine and stick it right into that relationship so you don't have to know them at all. Don't let your compassion be completely dead. Because that's death to a part of our own souls and to the hope that God calls us all to live towards. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us. And we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
As we move out into the world today, it's important for us to try to hold on to that message that Paul has for all of us, which is that in a world where we can cut people off, we can be in a relationship with someone and just turn them off, mute them, unfollow them, unfriend them, like that now. But maybe that's not the best thing. Maybe we are called instead, if we want this world to be more gracious, to a place of compassion, a place where we are not numb to each other or numb to people who might actually annoy us, be troubling to our souls, but that we're not dead to that. We have to feel it, even just a little, if we are to be servants of a God who is love, a God whose compassion is the central defining ethic of the faith that Jesus taught. So as we step out into that world, try to hold on to that a little. Don't get overwhelmed. The Lord knows it's chaotic, and there are some things that can be overwhelming, but don't lose all feeling, because that is not a place where Jesus wants us to journey. So now, let's go out. Now let us let God's grace, God's love, and God's mercy guide us in all that we do, so that we might walk the way of Christ
in all things. Amen.